This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Producers were able to make significant progress planting corn over the past week, according to the state crop report. Statewide, the average temp was 60.8 degrees, and that's 5.4 degrees above normal. Precip averaged 0.78 inches, and that was 0.17 inches below normal. There were 4.4 days suitable for field work during the week ending on April 24th, and the topsoil moisture supply rated at 8% short, 75% adequate, and 17% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply rated at 6% short, 81% adequate, and 13% surplus. Corn planted had jumped to 42%, and that's up 30 percentage points from last week's number. Corn emerged was at 4% compared to 1% last year and the five-year average of 6%. Soybeans planted was at 2%, and winter wheat that's headed had reached 2%, and that's behind the five-year average of 13%. Winter wheat condition was rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 27% fair, 52% good, and 16% excellent. And now we'll take a moment to check in with a local farmer for an update. Yesterday, I took a ride with Heath Halk while he was planting corn just south of Irving. Heath farms with his dad, Larry, and he said they were almost done with corn and hope to start planting beans soon. Heath, in the middle of planting, and we're going to be talking to you about a crop update. How far along planting corn are you, and have you started on beans yet?
We're roughly, I would say at this point, we've got about, once we finish this field, I've got about 40 acres of corn to plant. We personally haven't planted any beans lately or started that process yet, but we've got some neighbors that have planted some. There's been a whole lot of bean planting going on, especially with the weather coming in. I think a lot of guys are probably going to wait that out and kind of see. We've kind of got a lot of rain predicted for us now over the next 10 days, so we'll kind of see how that all plays out.
And once you finish up with the corn, you said about 40 acres. Will you start on your beans then? You have spraying to do. What's next?
We basically, as we plant corn, we keep it sprayed. We spray it up and try to keep that going as fast as we can. We'll then, after that, we'll have to put our pre-emerge down, our beans, to keep the weeds so that we can control them at this point. With water hemp being Roundup resistant and having trouble with that, we have to keep things pretty clean. And we do no-till on our beans, so we'll have to be spraying our burn down and pre-emerge herbicides there to keep the weeds at bay. And we will start planting beans as soon as see what this rain does here, and then we will start right in and plant beans and go from there. And then just the normal summer, go out to spray our corn again, and then we'll come back with our post-bean spraying.
And I've been riding along with you in the tractor this afternoon, and there's quite a bit of technology involved. You know, it's not just as simple as, well, throw seed in the planter and away we go. You've got a couple different monitors. One's beeping at us right now. And some GPS involved. So talk to us about the screens that you watch while you're planting and the information that you can see.
Basically, we're running auto steer like many farmers in the area. Mostly everyone runs auto steer in some way, shape, or form. We also on our planter have row shutoffs, so when we cross that row at the end of the row, we can actually shut it off within about 6 inches of the end, and we've seen that that's a great seed savings, especially with the high price of seed today. It's important to try to save as much of that as you can and put it where you want it to be put. And then I'm running the iPad in here and trying a little bit of new mapping software from the Climate Corporation. Trying that out where I can take the iPad directly out of the planter here and I can do some field scouting, and then I can actually go ahead and put it in the combine this fall, and we'll be able to gather harvest data off that also at the same time. So there's a lot of things happening here, and trying to keep track of everything it's kind of be a challenge some days.
And one thing that we talked about, I had some questions for you. We were talking about the different types of seed and the varieties. You work with a seed specialist and talk to them about what types of seed you should be using based on the types of soil in your field. So tell us a little bit about the planning that goes into preparing to plant for the year.
There's a lot of prep going on, in that January time frame, sitting down and looking and seeing what, we know our fields and seeing what hybrids fit where they need to fit. Some hybrids are more of a defensive hybrid that can handle the dry conditions better. Some are more offensive. They're more of a racehorse number that will get that top end yield. So you kind of want to have a balance of those things so that you can maximize profitability on your acres. It's the old saying, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. You just don't want to have the same. That's why we plant multiple hybrids, so we don't have those same genetics across the whole farm. We can kind of, we don't know what Mother Nature is going to throw at us, so we have to kind of throw the whole gamut out there and try to get the best that we can. And it takes a lot of, there's a lot of preparation. I mean, as far as corn on corn varieties versus corn on beans and just different farms, our soil types vary so much. We've got a lot of things we got to look at. So
Heath Houck, who farms near Irving in Montgomery County. And we'll be back with more after these messages. Taking a look at National Ag News, the Vermont Retail and Grocers Association wants the state to delay its GMO labeling law that's slated to start July 1st. The Vermont Business Magazine reported on Monday that the association is supporting an amendment under consideration by Vermont Senate delaying the law until July of next year. However, the association recommends delaying the law until 2018. While expressing support for disclosing GMO information to consumers, the association says there will likely be some interruptions in supply this summer as food companies change over their labeling to comply with Vermont's first-in-the-nation labeling law. The law brings national implications as many food suppliers in the U.S. are planning to comply with the Vermont law. The U.S. Senate has unsuccessfully tried to pass a bill containing a national GMO labeling standard earlier this year. Retailers in Vermont say the delay would make implementation of the law smoother. The delay would also give the U.S. Congress more time to draft a compromise between lawmakers on a national GMO labeling standard. The FBI is warning agriculture against data breaches that may expose farming data through internet-connected farming equipment, according to Precision Farming Dealer magazine. The FBI, along with the USDA, issued the warning last month. Together, the two agencies say farmers should be very mindful of the way they configure technology devices on the farm. The FBI suggested farmers should ensure that companies managing farm data, including digital management tools, application developers, and cloud service providers, develop cybersecurity and breach response plans. The FBI says so-called hacktivists may be targeting farmers as a way of protesting U.S. agricultural policies. A similar incident occurred last fall when an anonymous hacker leaked data of USDA employees to protest against Monsanto. And that's all we have today for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.